Looking at this, I've changed my mind about four times about what I'm going to say. And that included 2 o'clock this morning, but never mind. It's a word from Peter to Christians scattered through Asia. And he knew that some of them were struggling, both with their personal relationship with Father, but also just as difficult was that the relationship with non-believers who formed the great majority in the region that they were in. This was a new beginning starting, so they were going to places who'd never even heard of Jesus Christ. And this was a message that Peter was sending out to them. It's a reassurance to them all that their God was with them, and his grace and his peace was with them. But as I read through it, it was also, in fact, a battle cry, which I'll come to a bit later on, which was a bit I wasn't expecting to read or be part of what I was saying, but this was him preparing the way for the future, for the spread of the gospel. It was so important. Let's read it. 1 Peter chapter 2. We've heard this last week, looking at getting rid of the old self, so becoming onto more the new self. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and of all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all the deceit and hypocrisy, sorry, and envy and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. One of those phrases you hear quite often, and you're going to, reading through this, you're going to come across a lot of songs. I found it quite surprising going through this. Oh, there's another song I remember. Oh, there's another one I remember. It all comes out of this. But now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to him, the living stone, we've just been singing about the living stone. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also are living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what we are destined for. And then one of those lovely sets of prose, which you'll always remember for your life of studying the Bible. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. And to me, I read that as being you are the army of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful natures, sinful desires, which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of being wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. May God bless that word to us this morning. These aliens and strangers, he talks about, they're God's children in strange lands. They've been scattered into Galatia and Asia, but have a young personal relationship to God through Jesus Christ. Knowing Jesus as their Savior gives them a sure and certain hope for the future. Jesus is the foundation on which they can build on and grow, and they are young. They've got a lot to learn themselves. They can overcome the circumstances they live in and bring glory to God, but they need encouragement. And this is what Peter was doing for them here. Peter starts by saying the Christian life, your walk with God, is not just about being forgiven. It's about being a new person in Christ. No more in condemnation. And you can read John's letter this morning he sent out. It talks about no more condemnation. Just as last week we were hearing about throwing away the old. Aaron was talking about bringing in the new. And it's just a continuation of all that. Thank you, my brothers, for sharing that with us last week. Anyways, thank you for the songs we've had this morning, which only echoes quite a lot of what I'm saying. Getting rid of that sinful nature and trusting more in God. Paul wants them to be strong in their faith and bold in their outreach to those around them. Now, these Christians are elected exiles. I say elected, they've been chosen to go out and be with others, just as Peter himself was, just as Paul was, and so on. Chosen to be different in a very secular world, or a very religious world, which was following the wrong religions. They and you are going to be misunderstood. You're going to be ridiculed, carrying a different set of values to the people there. Not shouting, you know, my wants, my needs, my values, my feelings, my success. But you are setting your eyes on God's word, God's glory, God's power, his success, his influence. His influence on their life, of course, building his church. And that's a battle they're going to have to face. Day in and day out of those that don't believe their beliefs and trying to convince them they're wrong. Now, we live in still a relatively calm country, and our conflicts and concerns are minimal when you compare them around the rest of this world. We read every day, don't we, of the sufferings for Christ in far-off lands, battling to be allowed to worship the true God. Some in prison, some dying, as happened in these times. But these troubles are getting closer to us, and we should be more aware, more and more aware, and clothed in the armour of God. And if you haven't got it around you now, get it now, because you need it. It is so essential. We Christians, sadly, now are in a minority in this country. There are more non-believers than there are believers. So Peter's message is applicable to us today as it was to them. You know, you've got to be solid in your love, solid in your knowledge, solid in what you believe, and solid in what you can share. For several centuries now, this country has been sheltered, I think, by our constitution and laws, which are based on Christian principles. But these values are now being eroded. Drip by drip, they erode the way of life that we have felt comfortable in. But it doesn't stop us obeying our Father and living in our Lord's desires. God's word, fortunately, does not change. It stays solid forever. And we can carry on believing what we believe in the fact that it is the truth. I was interested this week, somebody quoted C.S. Lewis. He said, if you struggle fitting into this world, perhaps it's because you were made for another world. How true. What a lovely world it will be. A beautiful, peaceful, joyous world. And they and us are promised this eternity in days to come. So stick to his word. Stick to what he has taught us. You are a chosen people. A spiritual race who share a single spiritual father. And that's all of us. We are a holy nation, set apart from all others. A royal priesthood, not a phrase you use every day, is it? I am part of a royal priesthood. But it is an honor and it is a privilege. We no longer need priests to intervene on our behalf. We have direct access to the Father. Can't really say we don't need a priest, that would rather upset somebody. I think it is Rufus said that. But there are times, you know, we were so restricted in our relationship with God because we had to work through high priests and so on. For those who remember it, in Mark 15, there was talking about Christ was on his cross. And he was talking about the curtain that we could not get beyond to reach to God. And it said in there, Mark, with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. These weren't little thin sheets of curtain either. They were very thick curtains, just torn apart. Basically saying, now you have access. Now you can talk to your God. Now you can do it yourself. Now you don't need to sacrifice bulls, calves, sheep, or whatever. You have the direct access. No longer would God's children be denied that direct access to the Father. It was there, a barrier, a curtain was gone. Our sins were taken away so that we can boldly approach the Father as white as snow. No more reliance on a high priest or even a pastor as a gateway to prayer. Could you imagine if we had to confess our sins daily, how long that queue would be from Pete's door around the church and probably outside the church every day? God can deal with it that quick. Doubt whether Pete could. Doubt what he wants, actually, but come to that. But we are free to speak to our Father every day. And so were these new converted Christians, that whenever they had a problem, they could turn to Father and talk to him. Now you are a people of God, under God's guidance and protection, and you can go amongst the pagans and proclaim the glory of God. You can reject their local ways. You don't have to indulge in their way of life. That's the last thing you want to do. Live your Christian life professing the love and the life of Christ, and may they see your good deeds and be able to glorify God. Sadly, this will inevitably bring them and us into conflict with those who reject our beliefs. Some will laugh at us, some will just tittle-tattle, but there will be others who are still searching for the light, and we are their hope. God has given us that privilege to speak on his behalf. We are the beacon on that hill that they can look up and say, I want some of that. And God calls them, as he calls us, to shine like we've never shone before. Take your knowledge, take your security of God and go out and be with them. But he's asked them to trust in their Father, to lead them on and be bold. Jesus is the foundation stone, and we are the living stones who help build his church. And his church will be built, and he will return in glory, and we will be there to praise his name. And those who are still on this earth will be able to stand on the very rooftops of those churches they built and shout his name from the top of it, which will be great. So Peter goes on to say to them, live your lives as such. Do not be dragged down and behave as the others in a lost world. Instead, be the shining example and bring glory to God. And Peter closes these 10 verses, just closes by saying, just constantly keep your eyes on Jesus. Stay close to him. Grow in his teaching and love and help build his church. And in the process, you'll be receiving his everlasting security and protection. Live good lives amongst the pagans. Resist their sinful ways. Let them see your good deeds and be the light on the hill to show the way to others. And his promise here is that the Lord will arm you with all you need. You no longer belong to this world around, but you do belong to the greatest army that ever existed and ever will exist. Perhaps in this little room of 40, 50 people, we don't think about it that way, but we are the greatest army on this earth. Sadly, it's often too quiet an army, but it is an army. And he asked them to march on and go and spread his name in all the world, which was their duty, a task to do. We perhaps find it difficult in this day and age to spread the words of one. We don't have the voice. Very sad in this country, we see other people marching for their beliefs. But who's marching in our belief? And if they do have a march, there might be 20 people behind, not 2,000. Why, oh why, we've become so quiet, I don't know, but we are. But we have to be louder, we have to be more noisy. Our job today should be a lot easier than theirs, because they were just single people, dropped into an island, dropped into a town, dropped into a city, and had to start preaching the word, speaking the word. We've got far more people around us to do that. Yet we don't appear to have succeeded as they succeeded. That's our challenge, and that's the challenge the Lord gave them, and it's a challenge he gives us today. That's all I'm going to say about that tonight. We're going to sing a couple of songs. And the reason I mentioned it now is because they came out as I was writing all this down. Being old, I remember old songs as well. But both these are related to what we've just been talking about. One was a new Christian, baptized. She's no longer here in this church. But I still remember the day she came out of the pool. She danced around the room. As we sung, I am a new creation, brilliant. The second one, excuse me again, was Crusaders, which I know John remembers because he was about, I think, the only one in the church at that time then that was still involved in it. Oh, my eyeliner, sorry, I mustn't ignore my wife, must I? It was for young adults. Young people who had been taught Christian values, but were going back into their schools. No, it's okay, thanks. Going back into their schools, and again, they had the same problem that these guys had. How to go into a school, profess what they knew and believed in, and had the ridicule that went with it from their school children. So they used to sing a song called Be Bold, Be Strong, which I know, John knows, three other people do. Anybody else know it? Oh, good. And what you'll know about both these songs is you sing them loud and you sing them joyfully. So no murmuring, please. Okay, thank you.